Thank you. I want to welcome everybody back from lunch. Quickly find your seat, please. Just a couple housekeeping items. First one, like Brian said earlier, the seat that you had this morning is your seat all day. So bathrooms, again, outside the door, straight out, right behind the escalators. And cell phones. You guys invested a lot of money being here. You want to make sure you're not distracted by having a cell phone. I think that's it for housekeeping. You know, Danny's been talking a lot about legacy, and I have been here now for 6 years. And the next guest I'm about to bring up, I've watched her actually grow up in this community. And she is a living example and testament to legacy and development. So please help me welcome Elena Holden.
How's everyone doing? How is this morning? You know, I've been going to events since 2012, and I was still sitting in my seat crying and convicted this morning. It's true that you can never stop growing. So like I said, my name's Elena. I'm from Texas. And when I first started coming to events, I was 16 years old. And the thing they're talking about legacy, I'm so grateful my parents brought me here, because at first, I didn't really want to be here. But they kept persisting. And because of that, I actually ended up a couple years later buying the Danny Johnson University. And so that's all of the trainings that Danny offers. And what happened in my life is when I was at 16, I was at a point where I had big dreams, big vision. I wanted to be an infectious disease specialist. So I was getting ready. I was accepted into an honors college, ready to go into hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. But the thing was, what I really wanted was freedom. What my biggest goal in life was to be a mom and to raise a legacy. And so there was some stuff that didn't really line up. So because of coming to these events, I was able to really realize what I actually wanted out of life. And so instead of doing that, I was able to get a dream job. I've been working at Danny Johnson. Tony told me to step up. I've been working at DannyJohnson.com since 2014, and it's basically been a college education. I've been learning marketing, and like Danny was talking about with specialized skill, I've been able to not just learn marketing, but specialized marketing. And then my favorite, so of all the trainings that I've used from the Danny Johnson University, it's made me who I am. I'm debt-free at 23. I have my husband and I met my husband here, and us together, we're actually completely financially independent, so we could actually stop working and live still.
Whoa, say that again?
We can actually stop working and still live. Like, we can keep being provided for without working another day in our lives.
How old are you again?
We're both 23, or he'll be 23 soon. Yeah, so... So to all you parents out there who are thinking, oh, my kid's 10, I don't know if they should come. My sister was 8 when she first started coming. She's 16 now. For all of you who are like, I have this 16-year-old who's totally rebelling. Oh, my gosh, I can't. It's just driving me crazy. Hopefully you dealt with that this morning. But if there's still something in you, I'm living proof that things can change and things can happen. And there's hope no matter where your kids are. And for all of you out here who are my age, there's hope. There is a way to get you to where you want to go in life without having to make sacrifices of what you really care about. So. Jen? Oh. Okay, so without further ado, that awkward pause, sorry. I would like to announce my coach, my mentor, America's favorite millionaire, Danny Johnson.
Hi! How are you? Good? See what happens when your child's groomed for success? That's a McCracken, now Holden girl, who's being held by a Holden boy. Okay, well, let's talk about money. We're going to talk about money, 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 money. Let's talk about money. Seems to be a lot of people's favorite subject. Money, money, money. Okay, we're going to talk about money. I need more money. Give me more money. How many of you know people like that? Always wanting more money. Yeah, so they can buy more stuff. That was Hans and I. When Hans and I first started making money together, even as a couple, when I first met him, I had already failed in business. I had already failed in a marriage. And I had the past that I told you about. And I had already had a kid. And I had $35,000 worth of debt. And wow, I was a catch. My resume sucked. But his wasn't much better. He was 18 years old, fresh out of high school, like literally. Just fresh out of high school with a mullet. He was 5'5". Do we have the pictures of us, like 9 months into our little relationship? That was us. The picture's a little overexposed. The picture's a little overexposed, so you can't see his snaggle tooth, but he had nasty teeth. He got rid of his mullet about 9 months after we met. About 6 months, because this is actually his 19th birthday. And I'm actually wearing this amazing maternity dress because I am pregnant with his child, but he is not my boyfriend. He was my boy toy whenever was necessary. Sometimes often, sometimes not for a month. Anyway, there I am with my unibrow, my total inability to know how to put makeup on. I cut all my hair off because I said, just forget everything. And this is about 10 months exactly after I was homeless. Yeah, it's 10 months after I was homeless. There's another picture. In fact, Mona, what you should get this to him. If Mona's in the room, get it to Chad because she wants me to show this other one. But anyway, so I was such a catch of hell for this man. And he was a catch of hell for me too. We both grew up very similarly. One day you'll hear Hans' story. In fact, here in about 4 weeks, he'll be a part of our leadership conference. He has a very powerful story. He's just such an overcomer as well. And our marriage for years was basically moments of bliss separated by earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons, twisters. Yeah. Sometimes all at the same time, these things would be our marriage. That was our marriage. Like, it was disastrous, and then moments of peace, disaster, moments of peace. We didn't know how not to be crisis-centered people. We were just crisis-centered people. Everything in our life was always a crisis, and we were creating the crisis ourselves and didn't even realize it. So a lot of the things that I was talking to you about this morning were my own personal confessions of what a terrible team player I was. And in the very beginning of our relationship, I was a terrible wife, and I was a terrible mother. Fortunately, I had only had two little ones at home while I had my stint of being a terrible, self-absorbed, depressed mother who was suicidal. And I worked around the clock. I worked 16 to 18 hours a day chasing money because I needed more of it because the first million wasn't enough. And there was this little habit that I had with money that every time I made it, I spent it all. And then I needed some more money. So anyway, that's what made me, I was a terrible wife because I had my family under a crazy amount of pressure. And this pressure was all inflicted by myself that, you know, the $250,000 house that I bought a year after I was homeless and the first Mercedes that I bought 6 months paid cash for Mercedes 6 months after I was homeless, a year and a half after I was homeless paid cash for my second Mercedes because two was better than one Mercedes. And then this diamond tennis bracelet that I'm wearing. And by the way, welcome to my birthday party. This is the birthday of First Steps to Success. It's 27 years old this month. Yep. The very first First Steps Success was in Kona, Hawaii at the King Kamehameha Hotel 27 years ago, April 6th and 7th. So this is our birthday month for First Steps to Success. We've come a long way because that event was all about money and getting more of it. but we also talked about the same things we just did with ego and forgiveness. That was we talked about the whole morning that we just finished talking about. It was very similar to what I talked about 27 years ago. And I did that very first steps 4 months after I was homeless. Yep, I was homeless in December, and April 6th and 7th was First Steps, and Hans was in that very first event. He was a client in that very first event. So anyway, he and I came to the party with all kinds of money issues. He actually had $3,000 in the bank when I met him. When I met him, he had $3,000 in the bank. He quickly handed me that money because he invested into a business that I was representing, and he was a part of my sales force initially. And he chased me for that next year, and he made a decision after he impregnated me, but we didn't know I was pregnant, that I was going to be his wife one day, and I made a decision that I was going to make millions of dollars, and I was never getting married again. Because, again, I was homeless just 3 months before this, right? Because I was married, and, well, I met and married someone after knowing him for 7 days, and that was just plain old dumb. That was just stupid and dumb. That was not a wise choice. And I suffered the consequences because of my stupidity and my lack of sexual self-control. Anyway, but that's what happens when you're a whore. You can't say that in church, can you? I say it in mine. Anyway, bottom line is that we made a lot of financial mistakes, just a ton of them. You know, both of us growing up on welfare, him having to start a business at 8 years old just to buy food for himself and his little brother. So he grew up on the streets. I grew up around that same kind of environment. And so when we started making money, we were very, very foolish with it. And the first 10 years of making millions of dollars, we had almost $1 million worth of debt at the end of that 10 years. Now you have to ask yourself, how in the world do you make millions and end up with $1 million in debt? I'm going to guess one word. More. That's how. Can you say more with me? Not more. I need more. Okay. That's how you end up almost $1 million in debt after making millions of dollars, is that you want more and you want it faster. Is there anybody here that has the faster more disease? Okay, cool. So the faster more disease was what we had, but we didn't know we had the disease. So let me tell you, 10 years in, okay, I'm diagnosed with a fatal heart condition. I had a heart attack when I was 24. I had a nervous breakdown at 25. I was running two multi-million-dollar corporations at the time. And working full-time in both of them. That's how you work 16 to 18 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, neglecting your 2.5-year-old and your new baby that I never saw. Somebody else was raising my kids. My oldest daughter was not with me. It was just a mess. And so Hans and I hated each other. Well, I hated him. He says he didn't hate me, but I hated him. And, you know, we hugged the sides of the beds. We had no relationship. Do you understand? Often slept in separate rooms. And we're like newly married, literally. We'd been married for like a year, and this is what our marriage was like. We fought constantly. I wrote him nasty letters constantly telling him that he was a good-for-nothing whatevers, that he couldn't provide for the family, that all the pressure was on me to provide for everything, that why can't you step up and do something? Can't you see that I'm losing everything right now? I'm under so much pressure. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, why can't you be a real man and like, you know, make some money so you can help take care of the family? These were the letters that I was writing my husband, asking him to leave my house because I bought this house before we were married. So I literally was just annihilating him and emasculating him in our first 2 years of marriage. Yeah, about first 2 years of marriage. And it was a disaster. I would never go back to that wicked, evil woman ever again. And no one should ever be married to that wicked, evil woman ever. She's called Jezebel. That was my first name, Jezebel. Seriously, just wicked and evil in every way, just constantly telling him where he was failing, what he was doing wrong, what a loser he was, that I made a mistake. I was out of the will of God when I married you. Why don't you just go cheat on me? Make it easier for both of us. Please, I can set you up with a cute little Asian girl that's really humble and quiet and doesn't have any opinions. That's what a wicked woman I was. That's what my poor husband endured with me. It was awful. So shortly after that, I had a major wake-up call with a nervous breakdown and a heart attack. I'll tell you this story tomorrow, but bottom line is that in that I had learned that I had sacrificed my life, my marriage, my role as a mother. I sacrificed everything that was important to me and convinced myself that none of that was important to me and that the only thing I wanted was financial success. And I had reached a high level of financial success, but my life was hell. And I was miserable in every way of that word, miserable in every way. So a few years in, I cut my hours back. Hans and I start focusing on our relationship. I become a mother finally. Just because you give birth doesn't make you a mom. It's true. So I finally stepped into my role as mother, and I cut my hours from 100 hours a week down to 20 hours a week and really focus on my kids. This happened 22 years ago this past January. It was 1996, where I just took a leap of faith and said, screw it, I'm done. I don't care if I go broke. I don't care if I lose it all. I don't care if I'm the laughing stock of the universe. I don't care if I lose all of our clients. I don't care if I lose my house. I know I can't lose my cars because I paid cash for those. Mm-hmm. So I took a leap of faith and I just sliced my hours. And I sold one of my companies, which actually was the greatest decision at that time I could have ever made for my entire life. We hired counselors to help us work through some of our crap. Some of that counseling was great. Some of it sucked. Some of it screwed us up even more. Why? Because there's humans talking to you when you have counselors who are jacked up themselves. Especially when they haven't told you how jacked up they are, to kind of give you a preface. They're just playing expert when they're divorced themselves. So the bottom line is that after we got our life on track and our marriage was better, and I was a mother and I was happier, and I finally learned to define success for me, which now was not money anymore. Money was not success for me. And mind you, in 2000, after being told by the doctor that I had to retire, that I couldn't work, I couldn't fly, I couldn't travel, and needed to reduce my stress. At this time, Micah is 7 months old, right? So I'm going to reduce my stress when I'm waking up in the middle of the night. I've got a year and a half. No, I have a 2-year-old who's crazy. I have a 3.5-year-old that when his brother was born, when Roman was born, Cabe, who was totally potty trained and potty trained for 6 months, started pooping his pants all over again in retaliation that we brought another human into the family. He's like, the 3-year-old started waking up in the middle of the night screaming. The 3-year-old started coloring on the walls. My perfect three-year-old that never had a terrible 2 in his life, all of a sudden at 3, I named it now the Thundering Threes, turned into a demon when this other kid came. So mind you, I have these four little kids in the home, right? And the doctor's saying you have to cut all the stress out of your life. I'm like, does that mean I get rid of people? Like, here's stress number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. And then Hans, number six. Right? And then my house. Okay, so here's what we did. We had to cut our income way down when I retired. That meant we're losing nearly $1 million a year from me not working in just one business and then another business. We knew that income was going to be cut by hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by me not working and just being able to manage being a mother and just being able to manage being a wife only and not have the pressure of, well, really, it wasn't the pressure of the business, honestly. It was the pressure of how we ran it. It was also the pressure of the money. You see, we'd made lots of money, but what did we do with it? We bought a 5,600 square foot house on 10 acres up in the mountains, looking at the backside of Yosemite National Park. We bought a prison, is what we bought. We bought the dream house. We were in our, I'm 30. Micah and I are 30 years apart. So I'm 30. Hans is 26, and we live in this glorious house in the Sierra Nevada mountains between Yosemite and Lake Tahoe. Same mountains, okay? We have a pool. We have a tennis court. We have a slide that goes into the pool. I have a 300-square-foot closet for all of my stuff, all of my designer clothes, right? My Donna Karan $5,000 suits. My Donna Karan $895 little top, my $900 skirts, my $500 shoes, 150 pairs of them, $250,000 in clothes. Go on, take the money and run. My $250,000 worth of jewelry. There's all of our stuff. Where was the stress really coming from? The $1,200 a month that we were spending on food for all these little kids? All the waste. We could sleep 30 people in that house. In fact, we had a slumber party once with 33 people. Yeah. Our friends and their kids, whole weekend. I paid for all the food. I cooked all the food, paid for all the booze, put on the best parties, and just spoiled everybody around me rotten. So how did we end up with almost $1 million worth of debt after making millions of dollars? We were 98 percenters. With a big paycheck, which meant we were 98 percenters. We were kind of, you know, at the top of the 98%, but we were still 98 percenters. Let me give you the sign of the 98% financially, in the financial category. You spend all you make. You spend all you make. That is poverty. You spend all you make. So I'm sitting in this house. It is March-ish of 2000. So this is 18 years ago, right? And I'm preparing a Bible teaching because I was a Bible study person, leader. I had one in my house. And I was preparing this teaching. And I hear a voice ask me a question. Who is this all for? Well, it's not for Hans. He could live barefoot in a coffee shack and be totally happy. Then who is this all for? It's not for my kids because they were just fine with a Walmart swing set in the last house on a half an acre. They certainly don't need their own bedrooms individually. They don't need 10 acres. They don't need a pool, tennis court, slide, guest house. Then who is this all for? I'm out of people. Greatest questions to be asked. You should ask yourself this question. Who is this all for? What is this really all about? Well, God, I don't think it's for you because you own everything. Then who's this all for? It's the biggest mirror that had ever flashed in front of my face. I fell off my little $1,100 chair onto the floor right next to my $4,000 couch, next to the TV I didn't watch, in my little retreat in my master bedroom. That was 1,500 square feet was our master bedroom. It was the size of most people's houses. That's a mansion in the UK. I'm joking. People in the UK live in tiny little spaces, which has some great benefits. You can't have a lot of crap. Yeah, you can't have a lot of crap because there's no place to put it. Here in America, people have huge houses and it's just a storage unit that they live in. It's just a storage unit, a pretty decorated storage unit. So I realized that this house was about me and my ego. This is all about my ego. It was all about me trying to prove to myself and everyone else that I had made it, that I was successful. But this constant yearning for more had control over every decision I was making. And the doctor telling me that I had to retire and I couldn't work was terrifying, because now how am I going to keep up all of this? So my heart condition was stress-induced. And why was the stress there? Because of the debt that was there. Why was the debt there? Because of every financial choice I was making every single day. Let's go to the root of where and how it all starts. How did we get to where we're at financially right now? Ask yourself that question. How did I get here? You see, however old you are, you've made a lot of different decisions financially. Those financial decisions have resulted in what's in your bank account today. So let's do this. I want you to write down on the top of a piece of paper how much money you made last year. Write it down. How much money did you make last year? Next, I want you to write down on the next line how much money you've made over the last 5 years. How much money have you made over the last 5 years? So if you make 25 grand a year, that's 125,000 you made in 5 years. If you make $100,000 a year, that's $500,000 you've made in the last 5 years. So write that number down. Now, draw a line underneath the amount of money that you made over the last 5 years. And now I want you to put the number of dollars you have left. Go ahead, write the number down. How much do you have left? How much liquid do you have in the bank right now? Write down the number. Now, I want to put you to put your debt underneath that. Danny, you're mean. No, I love you. And I want to see you free financially. And until you look at what you've been doing, you cannot fix it. Unless you look at the truth and the reality of where you're at right this minute, you cannot fix it. You can't continue to swim in the sea of denial before it eventually pollutes you and your family. And with the habit that you have right now, what's the number? By the way, your mortgage is a debt. Write it down. Your cars are a debt. Subtract that from what you have left. Your school loans, subtract that from what you have left. Now, why are we talking about this? Part of your legacy is going to be a financial legacy. A wise man leaves an inheritance for multiple generations. A wise man leaves an inheritance for multiple generations. That inheritance, part of the inheritance is financial, but it's not all of it. Some of it is assets. Some of it is skill. Some of it is values can be an inheritance. I inherited some pretty sick values. I inherited some pretty sick habits that I inherited from the ones who trained me. So a wise man leaves a good inheritance for his children's children's children. So you received an inheritance from your family. How many of your parents were in debt? How many of your family were 98%ers? That's the inheritance you have received, which is financial bondage. How will you make sure you do not give that to your kids? A wise man leaves a good inheritance for his children's children's children. So how do we fix it? Well, Hans and I have fixed ours. And it happened in a very short period of time. And I promise you that if you follow these very simple instructions, you will also be able to fix yours. And the thing that I was so amazed about is just changing a couple little habits started to open the door for wealth to come in and to flood in like crazy. Most of you are in the financial situation you're in because you're all clogged up. Hold your hands like this, real tight. Everything you own is right here. Your hands are tight-fisted. Can you receive when your hands are closed? Fear has you close your hands. Stinginess and greed has you close your hands. Gluttony has you close your hands. These things cause you to be stuck. In order to move yourself forward financially, you have to understand how money works. It has to flow. It can't be stopped. So many of you are constipated financially. Okay? And here's why. Because one individual can only have so much stuff. One individual can only eat so much food. There's only 24 hours in a day. Therefore, you can only watch so much television. So 98% of the population is filling their mind. Their time optimization is filling their mind with senseless entertainment. That's what they're filling this incredible computer that's on top of their head. They're filling this incredible computer that's on top of their head with mindless, senseless information. But 2% of the population makes sure and invests wisely with time, whatever is going in. Why? Because what goes in will, let's say that again. What goes in will come out. What goes in will come out. What goes in will come out. So you got to be careful who your mentors are, who you're being held accountable by, who your role models are. Because those role models are going to lead you to buy and to live a certain way and crowd your mind with senseless things that you will go after. But again, you can only hold so much. And money is designed to reproduce itself. So when you're totally maxed out, full of debt, your brain is not a place that flows ideas because it's crowded by fear, pressure, and stress. So innovation has to happen in a free space. Right. Do you understand? A free space is where innovation is birthed out of. But when you are totally constricted by the stress and pressure of debt, finances, worry, fear about the future, and anxiety, like we were, you can't solve problems very easily. Why? Because your brain is totally constricted. So money has to have a place to flow to. Money's always looking for a place to go. But if you are already maxed out with too much crap, too much stuff, too much debt, too much pressure, it just goes right over you to somebody else who is a flow through for it. So money is seed. Money is seed. Listen to me carefully. Money is seed. Money is seed. Money is seed. Money is seed. Seed comes with everything that it needs to reproduce itself. Seed comes with everything it needs to reproduce itself. Seed reproduces. I'm going to say that again. Seed reproduces. 98% of the population eats their seed. Therefore, they have nothing to plant. They have nothing to invest for something to multiply itself. So what is that? I make $3,000 a month. I spend $4,000 a month. I make $3,000 a month. I spend $4,000 a month. You're overflowing. You're already overfull. You cannot possibly be a flow through for money to grow. Okay? Because you're not only eating your seed. Sorry, handsome. Is this your mom? That's so awesome. You have an amazing mother, by the way.
Thank you.
No, you have an amazing mother. She's an amazing, amazing, wise woman who's very humble, hardworking, and totally devoted to you. Yeah. You are very, very blessed you did not grow up with my mother. Mm-hmm. Or my grandmother, especially. So listen carefully. Seed has to have a healthy place to grow. Right? Can seed grow on hard ground? Nope. Some of you are compacted financially. You're compacted. An enema isn't going to do it. A laxative isn't going to do it. When you're compacted, how do you know if you're compacted? What's the number on your paper of how much you have left minus your debt? How many of you are compacted? Okay. So when you're compacted, okay, there's some major drastic changes that need to be taken. And you're going to be called the weird people. You're going to be called the weird people. Just want you to know up front, we need t-shirts. Weird. Weird, hashtag weird. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you something. You've been sold that the rich live a certain way that they don't live. You've been lied to. I've been studying successful people for a really long time. Financially independent people are insanely frugal. But 98% of the population is insanely wasteful. They waste. But financially independent people are frugal. They live a simple life. A simple life. 98%ers try to live like the rich, but they've been not looking at the real rich. Riches run. Wealth is generational. Wealth is generational. And it's generational because of the habits that it takes to accumulate. Wealth is accumulated little by little through time. Put in the seed, put in good, healthy soil. What was the first area of your life on the board? Health. Spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, and financial. So the question is, are you healthy soil? Based on the number on the paper, How did you get into debt? Answer yourself this question. Huh? Overspent. But why do we overspend? Why do you overspend? Because, she says, because I can. But why? Why are you doing it? She says, I'm keeping up with the Joneses. I'm trying to fit in. Fitting in is very expensive. Fitting in is very expensive. Trying to fit in with 98 percenters is very expensive. It is. I would begin, if I were you, to start doing studies on, like, the millionaire next door. Read the book, use the book, apply the book. Powerful book. This book my husband found right in the midst of us making a ton of money. He read the book. He told me about the book. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Like, so the real millionaires live in a normal neighborhood and wear JCPenney's clothes? Wow, that's incredible. And they don't eat out a lot? Wow, that's amazing. Hey, do you want to go to Marcello's tonight? We turned around and we bought $1 million house. We turned around and we bought $1 million house after we read that book like idiots. We turned around and spent $100,000 on the furnishing of that house like complete idiots. After we read the book, case study after case study of real financial independent versus people that make a lot of money. You make a lot of money, you spend a lot of money, you're broke. You're a 98 percenter. Your life sucks, you're under a lot of pressure, and if you think your life doesn't suck, you're totally in denial. And the train is about to just fall right off the cliff. And you'll know it when it happens, because it happened to us. So, seed has to have a healthy place to grow. When it's in a healthy place, it multiplies, and it multiplies really, really fast. So I want you to think about the seed of an apple. Okay, the seed of an apple. What is inside? If you've been here before, don't answer the question. Let the newbies have a chance. What's inside of a seed? Huh? The DNA of an apple, right? So what's inside of a seed, if it's an apple seed, what's inside of a seed? An apple? An apple orchard. An apple orchard is inside of every apple seed. Money is seed. What's inside of an apple seed is not an apple. It's an apple orchard. That through time, in a healthy environment, what happens to that seed? It multiplies generationally. Did you hear me? That seed multiplies itself generationally. It has multiple trees inside of one apple seed. The same with every penny that is in your pocket. The same with every dollar that is in your pocket. That dollar has the ability to reproduce over and over generations to come. An orchard is inside of that money. Do you hear me? That's what's inside of that money. So the difference between 98 and 2% of the population is, where do you put your seed? Where do you put your seed? Where do you put your seed? More importantly, where has your seed gone? Well, I'm going to show you. Here's a few ideas. So there I am. I'm in the house, this big 5,600 square foot, beautiful home, Victoria home, yellow, with the white wraparound porch all the way around it, with a little pond, with a little bridge that goes over the pond, with a little goldfish inside the pond, with all the beautiful landscaping all over the place. And don't forget about the 1,500 flowers and 15 rose bushes. There's people in this room who have been to that house with their children. Photograph for magazines. I hear the voice. Who's this all for? I realize that is how big my ego is. I bought something I should have never bought that we couldn't afford. But the mortgage guy said we could afford it. The mortgage guy said we could afford it, that we made enough money to be able to afford that house. for only $7,000 a month. Not including the taxes, not including the insurance. The $1,000 a month electric bill for the 5,600 square foot house. We had one couch, now we needed six more. Now we have all these bedrooms, we have to buy more beds, more nightstands, more dressers, more chairs. Now you have two dining rooms instead of just one. So now what do you need? You need a dining room set. So where does 98% of the population do with their money? Where is their orchard? In somebody else's lot. Where is the apple orchard? They started with money. They started with a little bit of seed. Do you need a lot of seed to be able to create an orchard? Oh, hello. Do you need a lot of seed to be able to create an apple orchard? Just one. Just one. Just one. But what is 98% of the population trained to go do? Go get a bunch of seed and then do what with it? Eat it all. Go get a bunch of seed and eat it all. Who here at least has a dollar? Then you've got seed. You've got seed. The question is, what will you do with it leaving here? What will you do with it? Where will you put it? Where will you put it? Eating out? Is this wasting the seed when you eat out? Yes. Totally. Now watch. Wait a second, Danny. Are you telling me that, are you saying I can't eat out anymore? Are you saying I can't have cable TV anymore? Are you saying I can't shop anymore? Are you telling me to live like a poor person? You already are, fool. You already are, fool. You're just living a lie. And you're teaching a lie to your kids. And you're selling a lie to your neighbors, too. So in all reality, could we have afforded that $700,000 house? No. How would we know if we could afford it? Pay cash for it. You're like, pay cash for a house? Uh-huh. How do you do that? You become a flow-through for seed instead of being hard ground for seed. You become a healthy environment for things to grow in instead of being hard soil and cement that nothing can grow in. So the voice then said to me, sell your things and follow me. I thought I was. I tithe. I go to church. I teach a Bible study. I is righteous. I am following you. Sell your things and follow me. We did. In 6 months, we had one person come to buy. One. Just one. She had raised four children in a house that was 30 years old in a normal neighborhood that had stucco. And you know what happens with stucco on dirt? It's multiple different colors from the bottom up and from the top down. Five different colors of carpet, two small apartment-sized bathrooms, four bedrooms. She was a single mom with four kids. She raised her kids in that house. The only issue was that in order to buy our house, she had to sell her house. The only way she could buy our house is if she sold her house. And she raised four kids in her house. It was 2,400 square feet that had two small apartment-sized bathrooms that had 5 different colors carpet that had chocolate brown tile with white water stains all over it, and caramel bathtub with a big white water stain down it, with those apartment shower doors with mold on the inside in the middle that you can't get to. You know the shower doors on top of the bathtub with the caulking? Her house had big cow wallpaper in the kitchen with matching cow valances and matching cow drapes with big giant ruffles on it. Cows. And a brick floor in the kitchen with formica countertops. She had to sell her house in order to buy our house. Only one person came to buy our house in 6 months. So we bought her house, and she bought our house. We traded. And she turned our house into a home for developmentally disabled children. How sweet. Our beautiful Better Homes and Garden House was now a home for developmentally disabled children. Why? Because there were so many freaking rooms. It was perfect. So we squeezed our butts in this 2,400 square foot house, selling our big house, and guess what happened? We paid off all of our car debt. We paid off all of our credit card debt because we obeyed the message. Our consumer debt was gone. We then had our mortgage left. Our house payment went from $7,000 a month down to $1,500 a month. And oh my gosh, that was a dream. And all of a sudden, I didn't care if my children had mud on their shoes when they walked in the house. And I didn't care that the dog kept licking the sliding glass door. I didn't care that Micah's fingerprints were on the windows. I didn't care. And my family got to relax and be human in their own house. But in that other house, no one was allowed to be a human. All that pressure. The pressure of $7,000 a month. The pressure of all the credit card debt. The pressure of the car loans. The pressure of keeping up this successful-looking life before my friends, to impress everybody. The pressure of my addiction of shopping and still shopping and still shopping and still shopping and still never being satisfied. More clothes that I could wear in 3 years. Spoiled, rotten brat and still not happy, still not satisfied. So I know that's not how you live. When I heard those words, sell your things and follow me, it was a rude awakening. So we did. And we got a real big wake-up call, a huge one, when our income shrunk way down. Our friends scattered. They were gone. There was a couple that hung around. There were some that were happy that we weren't as successful anymore. And there were some that we weren't good enough to hang out with them anymore. And that was a rude awakening. The rude awakening about how coming out from under all that pressure of that debt and that lifestyle, that we found peace. We found joy. We found happiness. We found a slower pace of life. We found simplicity. And we found that things that didn't get us excited before now were very exciting to us. We learned about ourselves and our habits. And I learned that I was a spoiled brat. And I was really arrogant and I didn't even know it. And I used to say, I could walk away from this tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything to me. Mm-hmm. And we were forced to live frugal for several years. And we still live frugal to this day. Why? We're no longer compacted. We no longer are hard-headed. We no longer are hard financial ground. So it literally just took a few years for wealth to begin being accumulated. So how do you go from our pathetic financial position, which how many of you know people are in a similar financial position as we are, right? Maybe on a different scale. Maybe there's less zeros at the end of their income, right? Maybe their house isn't $7,000 a month, but it could be like $1,700 a month for a house payment, and that's too much for their budget, too much for what they're making. You know, maybe they don't have four cars and there's two drivers. Maybe they have three cars and one driver. Maybe you know somebody who is eating out a lot and taking their seed that's supposed to build their apple orchard and they're blowing it on eating out instead. How many of you know people like this? You've watched it, right? In the mirror? You've watched it in the mirror? How many of you have a lot of crap in your house? So here's what it is. You learn from your parents so you don't have to take all the responsibility. But how long have you been an adult? How many of you are an adult? You're fully responsible for that number that's on your page. They taught you some habits, but you're an adult. You're an adult. You have to be the one to take responsibility for your finances. No one's going to fix it but you, okay? And that doesn't mean go home and try to get your husband or your wife on board. No, this is your job. This is your job. This is your responsibility. You're learning this, and you're going to be responsible for what you know, okay? You're not responsible for what you don't know. You didn't know that you weren't supposed to live like that before. So again, I want to answer this because I can hear the question. I heard it from three different people over here. Like, wait a second, are you telling me to live poor? No, I'm telling you to live wise. I'm telling you to live wise instead of foolish. Hi, Dave. Good to see you, brother. I'm telling you to live wise instead of being a fool. So there's a difference between wisdom and foolishness, okay? So what does that actually look like? It's really, really simple. I want to help frame your mind for wise spending versus foolish spending, and I'm going to test you for the next hour on what the difference between those two things are, okay? So starting out, the fool spends all he makes. The fool spends all he makes. The wise refuses to spend all they make. Now, look at the habit. How many of you are making more money today than you did when you first entered the workforce? Okay, cool. And how many of you are further in debt today than you were when you entered the workforce? Look around the room. Let's put up these hands. So here, we're making more money than we did when we first entered the workforce. I made $1 an hour as a babysitter, okay? $1 an hour. Okay, I went on to make over 100 grand a month, all right? So what happened between $1 an hour and 100 grand a month? Debt. I didn't have access to debt when I was making $1 an hour. When you only made $1 an hour or you made $1,000 a month, how many of you did not have access to $50,000 in debt? You didn't have access to it, right? So therefore, you couldn't go into that much debt. So look at the way the debt world works. The debt, the bank system is set up to get your orchard from you. Their entire plan is to not only get your orchard, but your great-great-grandchildren's orchard. That's the entire plan, is to get your great-great-grandchildren's orchard and for it to be their own. So how do they do that? Well, Danny, you're saying that I have to live poor? No, you have to live wise. So what does that mean? Watch. That if you are patient and if you are wise, then you're going to live on what my husband did with us many, many years ago, even unbeknownst to me for a few years, is that he had us live on 70% or less of our income. And he started doing that when our income was cut down from a lot of cash down to $5,000 a month for a family of six. So even then, when all we had was $5,000 a month, he made us live off of 70% of our income. And the other 30%, he put in three different places. One was towards debt. The other was towards building assets, investing into assets, investing into income-producing assets, and three, into savings. Okay? Once the debt was gone, which was immediately, honestly, because when we sold that house, we got rid of that, but we started putting more towards our mortgage, 10% to charity, 10% to debt, 10% to income producing assets and or savings. Okay? 10% towards debt, You got to get rid of your debt if you want to be financially independent. You will not be financially independent if you're carrying a bunch of consumer debt, okay? Debt is a habit. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. It's a bad habit. How many of you have ever kicked a bad habit before? How many of you used to smoke? How many of you don't smoke anymore? You kicked a habit, right? So debt is a bad habit like smoking. Smoking is going to kill you. Debt is going to kill you. Both of those kill you slowly. Painful and slow, okay? It's a torture of yourself. So you've kicked a bad habit. You can kick the bad habit of debt. Stop reaching for debt and start reaching for the cash. How much cash? Only the cash you have set aside to spend for those particular things. So 70%, force yourself to live off of that. If you make a lot of money, live on much less than that. Live on much, much, much less than that. If right now you're living paycheck to paycheck, force yourself to live off of 70% of your income. You're like, Danny, I can't do that. Really? I'm going to show you right now. How many of you remember when all you made was $1,000 a month? Yeah. Okay, where are you? You made $1,000 a month. Okay, cool. And then how many remember when you started making $2,000 a month? Okay. But you used to live off of $1,000.
At my mom's house.
You used to live off of $1,000. Do you hear me? You used to live off of $1,000. So what did you do with the increase of $1,000? Where did the extra $1,000 go? Because you were living just fine on $1,000. Now all of a sudden you have $2,000. Where is the other $2,000 going? Expensive food. Now, isn't this interesting? You know that it is very expensive poop, actually. When you buy expensive food, you're just making expensive turds. It's true. When you buy expensive food, you are making expensive turds. It's the truth. That's what you're doing. So the fact is, okay, you used to live on much less than you're making and living off of now. So if you limited yourself to 70% of your income, okay? So if you make $1,000 a month, then that's 700. What would you have to do? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you've made more money than you're making right now before? At some time in your life, you made more money. Okay? So that meant that you had a decrease in income at some point in your life. How many of you had a decrease in income? What did you do? You adjusted your lifestyle, right? You adjusted your lifestyle. Why? You were forced to. So listen to me now. Either you do it willingly now or you will have to later. You either willingly do it now so that you can take that other 30% and be wise with it, or you're going to be forced to at some point. Why? Because let me tell you something. Money goes through seasons. There's 7 years of plenty to prepare for 7 years of famine. We are in a plenty season right now. This is a plenty season. How many of you are in a plenty season personally right now? Okay, look around the room. Okay, these people are in a plenty season. Now, how many of you are not in a plenty season? You are and you don't know it because you have this thing called more. And you've not positioned yourself for the plenty. So if during a season of famine, you did not, if during the season of plenty, you don't put away for the season of famine, guess what you will not have during the famine? You'll not have resources. And money is cyclical. Look at the stock market. It literally goes through 7 year cycles. Okay, real estate goes through cycles. All of it goes through cycles. So when things are good, I promise you, they're only good for a season. They're only good for a season. How you act in that season determines how bad things are going to be in the next season. So if you understand this is time of plenty, I'm going to pretend like it's not plenty and I'm just going to stock it away. I'm going to invest some of it. I'm going to give some of it to the poor. I'm going to put some of it into savings. That's if you're debt-free. If not, you're going to attack your debt immediately. Okay, so if you make $2,000 a month, that means you force yourself to live off of $1,400. Can you live off of $1,400 a month? How many of you can? If you were forced to, how many of you could do it? Yeah, what would you have to do? What would you have to sell? You'd have to sell your house maybe because you're living in a house you shouldn't be living in that you couldn't afford. What's the proof? You took a mortgage. Some of you refinanced that mortgage. You've been in it for 15 years, you refinanced it, you started at zero again. Now you still got 30 more years to go. Why did you refinance it? Why did you refinance it? Why? More what? You wanted more money. And someone offered it to you for an interest rate of 6 or 4 or 10%. Now, some of you think you're really smart. Nope, I've got all kinds of debt with no interest. You're breaking the most important law that is a financial law that you think you're tricking, but you're not. Here's the financial law. This is a law that's been established since the beginning of the foundations of the world began. He who is faithful with little is ruler over much, much more. So if you're in debt, you're not faithful with the little. I don't care what your interest rate is. If you're in debt, you're not faithful with the little. So for example, all of your furniture that you bought with 0% interest that you're thinking, I got a good deal. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're still not being faithful with the little. And if you're not faithful with the little, you'll not be ruler of wealth. You'll not accumulate wealth if you do not possess the habit of being faithful with the little. If you make $4,000 a month, you force yourself to live off of $2,800. If you don't like the $2,800, then you better come up with a different way of making money on the side. So how do you do that? You do that with 10%. You do that with 10%. Now you start learning to invest that money and finding good soil to put it in that is going to reproduce more of a harvest that you're actually looking for. Okay? So wise versus foolish, we're going to get into that conversation here in a minute. Let's take a 15-minute bathroom break, and then we'll get into exactly how to pay off all of your debt in the next 5 to 7 years. Have a good break. All right, I think that meant sit down. Yeah? Roman, say it. Okay, friends, I'm so excited for this next hour and 5 minutes that we're going to have together. We're going to have so much fun. We really are. We're going to have so much fun. Your eyes are just going to be so opened. Okay, remember I said the first step towards freedom, number one was the first step towards freedom is what? Being aware, self-aware, aware of your habits, aware of your choices, aware of your bad attitude, your bad mouth. Okay, now listen to me. Not only is money seed, but words are seed. Words are seed. So you saying, I can't afford it. We don't have the money. It's too hard. I'm too fat. I'm too short. I'm not smart enough. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And you will eat the fruit of your words. Scientists have also proven that the speech center is right in the back of your brain, right? Right back here is the speech center of the brain, and it controls your entire reality. Your words control your reality. Your words control your reality. How many of you have sown the words of I can't afford it into your financial ground? How many of you have sown the words, we don't have the money, into your financial ground? Now you see why it's not producing any more money for you. Watch your mouth, what you say about your business, about your career, about your boss, about your family, about your future, about your money, because you will do what you say. You will live out what you believe. All of us do. We live out what we believe. So, for example, if I'm afraid to make million-dollar mistakes, I'll never get the opportunity to make billion-dollar mistakes. Wow. Dang. It's so challenging. It is so challenging. Seriously, my husband and I recently went through a $4 million mistake, and we're still in that $4 million mistake right now. We still have millions and millions of dollars, but a $4 million business mistake was done. And at the end of the day, it falls on us. Doesn't matter who else was involved, what was done, who advised. None of that crap matters. Bottom line, we made the decisions that resulted in $4 million in mistakes. So if you're all chicken, fill in the blank. Hey, I grew up white trash. Just because I have a pretty dress on don't mean that there ain't some white trash still in here underneath the dress. Okay, I think I learned cuss words before I learned any other word. Seriously, that I was around that environment, which, by the way, my dress was free. I didn't pay for it anyway. Beautiful Israeli designer, Michal Negrin. So this is sponsored. My clothing is sponsored so that I can go take care of more poor people. She dressed me beautifully today. Amazing woman. Which, by the way, grew up poor. Now she's a famous designer. Where all the most famous models and celebrities wear her clothes. 70 stores around the world. Handmade items. And she grew up poor. She started this business with a couple dollars in her pocket. She was in Israel right after the war. Lived in a kibbutz. Does anyone here know what a kibbutz is? A couple of you know what a kibbutz is. Basically, it's just a community. You own nothing. The clothes you wear today, someone else in your neighborhood is going to wear them tomorrow. Do you understand? You don't own your own shoes. Everyone shares in your whole community. Everyone shares everything because everyone is so poor. So this is how her and her husband started. They had a couple dollars and that was it. He said, go get a job at a post office or something. You got to go find something to do. We can't stay like this. She says, no, I am going to go find things to make jewelry out of. And she went and found things and made jewelry at her little kitchen table. Very, very young, newlywed couple. She went out to the street and sold them all. She took the money that she made and she bought a new purse. Not! That's what a 98%er does! She would still be in a kibbutz. She would still be broke if she bought a purse with the money she made with that first set of jewelry that she sold. No, she went and bought more supplies. She took her seed and she invested into more seed. She bought more supplies. She made more jewelry, went back out next week out on the streets and sold that jewelry. Then she went and bought a new dress. No. Then she went and bought a house. No. But Danny, at what point can I buy a dress? Go borrow one, you fool. Go borrow one. Or just go shop in your own freaking closet. Or go sell what's in your closet. And then borrow from your girlfriend. She won't miss it. She forgot she even bought it. Go shop in your girlfriend's closet. There's tags on brand new clothes in her closet. Don't go buy tools. Borrow your neighbor's tools. He was the fool that bought them late night, one night, watching that infomercial. So she went out again. She bought more supplies. She made more jewelry. Sold it all, made more, sold it all, made more, kept doing that. People then came to their house and they were buying their house. They turned their house into a showroom of jewelry. Today she has 280 employees. 280 employees making handmade dresses, dresses that are $800, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, with celebrities advertising for her for free all over the world. And guess what? She still lives frugal. Still lives humble. She wears her own product every day. She has no office of her own. She flutters around and meets with the ladies on the sewing machine, the one putting the Swarovski crystal on the dresses, the ones dealing with the fabric. She just goes and touches the 280 people that work for her every single day, teaching them how to sew, teaching them how to do this, teaching them how to do that. Doesn't have the big sprawling office, the big executive. Nope. She's a loving mother who grew up in a kibbutz, and the kibbutz is what she created as she created a famous high-end clothing line and jewelry line, and still lives frugal. How do I know this? Because I just spent the day with her when I was in Israel, meeting her family and her extended family, her 280 employees, who cried when she heard how we're taking care of the poor. You're an angel. No, I ain't, I promise. I screwed up 3 times already today. Please don't say that about me. I'm a mess up. Amazing to meet this loving, precious woman who is frugal, who grew up poor, who is not poor, who's inspiring the world. So, money is seed. You need to be good soil. But here's what happens. How does this start? It starts like this. Well, basically, it kind of starts in our health issues. So where is all of our money going? Perfect. Thank you. We need to mark that. Where's all of our money going? Well, because I don't take care of myself, and I don't eat right, well, then I have to take some of this activated carbon because I fart too much every time I eat because my digestion is really bad. So because I eat out all the time and I eat really bad food and I'm totally unconscious about what I'm putting in my mouth, I now have stomach problems. And then I also take this enzyme because the enzyme helps to break down the food because the food choices that I'm making, the expensive food that I'm buying when I go through the drive-thru, now I have to take these enzymes to help break down the food so I can poop. And then because I don't eat right, because I make really bad choices, now I have to take this step because my hormones are totally jacked out of their mind. And then wait a second, and then I'm older now, and because I didn't eat right for all those years, my body is a mess, so now I've got to take this one. And then don't forget these. Y'all know what these are, right? Yeah, so where's your money going? Advil. You don't know what that is? What the heck? You've all seen Advil before. And then wait, you got your medication. Really easy to remember. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Okay, and then hold on a second. Because you don't eat right, your skin looks really bad. So you were up one night and you watched this whole infomercial that has this new Paracone product right here. So it's only a few $100s. But because you treated your body so bad and because you had absolutely no consciousness of how you were spending money and because you were eating everything that was bad and because you were driving through everything and because you're drinking everything, and because Starbucks has your family's wealth, because your orchard, the grocery store, owns your orchard now. Well, now your skin looks really, really bad. So you're up one night, and now you got to buy this really expensive skincare because everything's falling apart. So you got your skincare, and because also you didn't make really good choices, you got to make sure that you get those really good hair products because your hair is dry and brittle now. But wait, there's more. And then these oils. Oh my gosh. Because you're not healthy because of the poor choices and because you're so stressed out because of all the debt, now you can't sleep. So you need basil and you need oregano. You need aromacies. You need tranquility. Wait a second. You can't breathe because you're so stressed out. So here's some Breathe Easy. And then you still can't. And now you have allergy problems because you haven't taken good care of your body. You haven't good sleep because of all the stress and all the pressure. So now you need something else to be able to bring it and clear your lungs. Wait, here's some more for my skin. And then I can't sleep because I'm so completely stressed out. So because now I have so much stress from all of the debt and I'm under so much pressure because of all of my finances and I'm fighting, I need some tranquility. And then I need, my immune system is really, really weak now, so I need some lemongrass. And I have so much brain fog because of all of the debt, because of all the choices, and wait a second, because of watching TV for the last 27 years, so I need brain power. And don't forget my magnesium, because now I get leg cramps because of the quality of the food that I'm putting in my mouth every single day. But wait, there's more. Did you hear about chia seeds and flaxseed? Everyone must have these things in your diet because no one's pooping right. Because I'm not pooping right, because I'm driving through, because I'm buying prepackaged foods. So now I need to buy all these health products so I can poop. Does this look like anyone's house? Lit, you can put up your hand. Does this look like anyone's house? But wait, there's more. I heard that pink salt is really healthy for you. I heard that pink salt is really healthy for you. So pink salt, man, pink salt is amazing stuff. I mean, it actually has certain minerals in it. It's going to help you live longer, make your skin look better, have you have better sex drive, make your hair not brittle, all with pink salt. Because did you know you are minerally depleted? That's how come you're depressed. You're depressed because you don't have pink salt. I'm going to teach you something about marketing and fools. This is salt. So is this. Salt, salt. This is the salt that humans have been using for like 50 million years. Right here. But somebody realized that for decades, if not hundreds of years, salt had not changed. So someone was looking to make some pretty big bucks. So good marketers are able to create an entire industry out of thin air. Good marketers will find something that hasn't been changed in thousands of years and figure out to create a whole submarket. And all they have to do is sell you the benefits. And they can charge you 800% more money for it. That's all they gotta do. Is tell you it's gonna help you live longer, it's gonna cure your ailments, it's better for you. It's going to change all these things in your body. And guess what? It's pink. Oh, my favorite color. This was 50 cents for 26 ounces. This is 4.5 ounces, $4. Let's see how many humble, honest people are in the room. Who has this in their pantry? Look around the room. You can turn to your neighbor and say, sucker. Sucker. Sucker! Himalayan pink salt. Pink Himalayan salt in its own little special Nordstrom grinder. So therefore, yeah, I like that picture. That actually came from Brian Niederhaus's pantry. After the last First Steps to Success, he sent me a picture after he and his wife belabored for several minutes going, do we do this, 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 Mr.? Pink salts. look at all that pink salt. But it was on sale. But it was on sale. Look at me. He who can be faithful with the little will be made ruler over much, much more. He who is faithful with the little will be made ruler over much, much more. If you forced yourself to live off of 70% of your income, pink salt would not be in your pantry. Now, the thing that cracks me up about health nuts, and I happen to be one of them, who've taken supplements for the last 27 years of my life, I've noticed something. That why don't we, wait, we have like 12 different health products to handle one problem. And we have no idea if any one of them are actually working. And we don't know which one is working because we just keep buying more. And why do we keep buying more? Why do we buy pink salt over the iodized 50-cent giant 26-ounce container of salt? I'm going to tell you why. It's because you have the money. It's because you have the money and you don't have a financial vision. That's why there's pink salt in your house. I have pink salt in my house because someone gave it to me. Someone was trying to pimp me out. Someone was trying to put the tourniquet around my arm and the needle in my vein to get me hooked on some pink salt. But Danny, it was on sale. Do you know what the point of sales in the supermarket are? To introduce you to something you did not need. To introduce you to something you did not need. Like a new brand of organic peanut butter, different than the other brand you normally buy of this organic peanut butter, where the real question is, should you be buying peanut butter? That's the real question. That's the real question. So when you look at that, this one was on sale this time. It was cheaper than your normal one. So now you pick up the new one. The next time your husband's at the grocery store and says, do you need anything? Yeah, can you pick up some organic peanut butter? This brand, please. It's no longer on sale. It's $2 more expensive than the other one. $4 more expensive than the cheap stuff. But you were told it's better for you. Just like you were told by the great marketers who campaigned and lobbied against the milk industry. Lobbied so well that they started an entire campaign for milk, that it does a body good, which is a slogan. It's not nutritionally factual, but it's a slogan. I don't know about you, but does milk make you fart? Something's going on inside your belly. Something's trying to tell you it might not be so good for you sometimes, depending on your body, of course. But why do we spend $4 on 4.5 ounces of salt versus 50 cents on 26 ounces of salt? Because we have the money and we have no financial vision. This is also how we spend inside of our companies, whether we own the business or we work for someone else. We spend other people's money more foolishly than we even spend our own money. So when you can't be faithful with the little, you'll not be made ruler over much, much more. And it's in these little places. So because we start this habit of using our freedom to destroy ourselves, and I'll give you a prime example. This pink salt was actually in my hotel room. And when it first was bought, somebody had gone to the store and they thought that we needed to buy salt. That's what they thought, that we needed to buy salt. When the hotel has salt for free. The hotel has free salt, and they also have free pepper. This is free from the hotel. But somebody thought that we needed to buy salt and pepper. Expensive salt and pepper instead of feeding orphans. Instead of making the bonus pool bigger, because in our company,
part of the profits goes to the entire company, besides the owner, of course, goes to the staff. The other part goes to the poor. So here, we're going to buy salt and pepper when we can get it for free. And if we are going to buy salt and pepper, why did we buy this expensive whole black pepper that has a grinder? And why didn't we buy the 50-cent jug of salt? Why? Poverty mentality. 98%. Who is your opponent? The 98%er that is where? In you. These are the habits that you've collected all through the years that have caused your apple orchard to be in somebody else's field instead of your own. So let me show you some places. Again, how many of you do what this is all about? Yep. The biggest place where people overspend is in food. It's in food. That's the biggest place. So let's look at where all the money has gone, because I want to show you and I want to prove to you that there is a beautiful way I need to get myself equipped first. This is the first thing that you need to say. Can you read that for me? Thank you, gorgeous. One of our precious clients made this for me. No pink salt. This is what you have to leave this place staying. But see, what is your pink salt? Is your pink salt your expensive skincare, your expensive hair care? You're living like a rich person who has all this debt? Is your pink salt cable television, video games? What is your pink salt? What is your luxury that you're foolishly spending money on and continuously staying in the cycle of debt? What is your pink salt? Where is your foolish spending? So you tell me. Let's look at cable TV. How many of you have cable television? Okay. Let's look at cable television. How much are you spending on cable television? Okay, $110 a month. Okay, so let's call it $100 a month. Can we just call cable television $100 a month? Where are we? Okay, is that good? $100 a month, all right? So if your pink salt is cable television, well, it's only $100 a month. Come on, can you say that with me? Psst, it's only $100 a month. Okay, $100 a month times 12 months is? How much? $1,200. Times 15 years is 18 grand. $18,000. What could you do with that $18,000? Huh? Do what? Rescue three little girls out of the sex trade. It's $5,000 per child to rescue and house them and bring them into counseling and learning new skills and to get them out of that life completely. It's building three houses in Nicaragua. It's $18,000 in your retirement fund. It's $18,000 of some fun. Take a vacation for a month. Go to a wild, exotic place for a month. That's $18,000 that could have been your debt, your consumer debt. $18,000 in some places in this country is a house that you could have paid cash for. But you refused to get rid of your pink salt. Who has ever done the Starbucks thing? What I have found is I've peeked through people's budgets. It's a minimum of $200 a month is what people start. Have you ever added it up? How many of you go to Starbucks daily? Or you did go daily before you came here? Who has a daily or did have a daily Starbucks habit? Let me see your hands. Okay, there's so many liars in here. There are so many of you that are like just not telling the truth. Okay, anybody here ever have a Starbucks habit? Raise your hands, okay? So these people, so many liars. Okay, Pete's coffee. Okay, what else? What's your coffee habit? Okay, who has a coffee habit that you go someplace, drive through somewhere and get a coffee? Okay, thank you. So how much is that coffee?
$4.
How many of you do this daily? Come on. So how many of you do it more than once a day? Okay, let me tell you something. No, yeah, people do it, Ro. I promise you. The parents were the one that drove their kids through the Starbucks to begin with when they were little and got them a nice little hot cocoa. So the parents actually gave the kid the tourniquet and the needle and got their veins ready for this daily drive-through habit of some expensive sugar and coffee. Yeah, that's what they did. That's what the parents do. They drive them right through there. So as they're driving through there, now the kid has a habit. Now they're used to it. The same exact habit that they did when they passed the cell phone into the kid's hand when they were in the fourth grade. That now the kid is used to having a $200 a month habit right when they're leaving the house. Right when they're leaving the house, they're chained to a cell phone. They're chained also to a computer. So they're used to having these things. So now they have to figure those things into their budget. They're crippled financially before they're even 20 years old. So let's go back to Starbucks. So if you're doing Starbucks, $4 one time a day times how many days a week? How many of you say 5 days a week? 6 days a week? 7 days a week? Is there anybody that's a 7 day a week habit? Okay, so let's say it's five. So $4 times five is $20. 20 times four? $80 a month. $80 a month times 12 months? 960. 960 times 18. You're at $18,000 in 18 years just from coffee. 15 years of your cable TV habit, there is $36,000. I want to see who drives through anything. You drive through burgers, tacos. You drive through sandwiches, having pizzas delivered, sandwiches delivered. Come on, where are you? Raise your hands. Who eats out more than one time a week? How much money do you spend when you eat out?
Between $10 and
$20. $10 and $20? Let's call it $15. How many times a week?
Probably five.
5 times a week. So five times $15.
$75.
$75 times 4 weeks?
$300.
$300 times 12 months? $3,600 times 15 years? $54,000. So we have cable TV of 18 grand. We got Starbucks at 18 grand. Sorry, no. What did I do, Starbucks? 18 grand, but I did 18 years. Okay. Starbucks. Okay, and then we have 54,000 there. So we have 36,000 plus 54,000. Where are we? $90,000. $90,000 with three habits. With the little things. We're talking cable, coffee, and eating out. Eating cheaply out, so you think. So how convenient is your convenient habits? We're almost at 100 grand with just three habits. So what is your pink salt? Because I guarantee you, eating out 5 times a week, $10 to $15 every time, that is some massive pink salt. Because I fed my family on $20 budget per person per week for food. That included cleaning products. Like, how could you do that for cleaning products? Because I didn't buy them. You know, I buy soap. For the kitchen, I still don't have a bunch of different cleaning products. The same soap that I washed my kids' head with, that I washed my body with, their bodies with, the same soap I washed my face with and even brushed my teeth with, scrubbed my floors and my toilets and did the dishes and did the laundry with, all the same soap. not telling you the name of the soap. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You buy glass cleaner. I don't. You buy butt wipes for dusting, butt wipes for your baby's butts. You buy butt wipes for cleaning the toilet. You buy butt wipes for cleaning the kitchen counter and the bathroom counter. You have big, giant butt wipes that sweep the floor. You have butt wipes for your dog's dingleberries. That's your pink salt. That's your pink salt. So you got to say no to pink salt. But if you force yourself to live on much less, you would not be buying all this stupid stuff that ties you into a habit for your entire life and hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you were to add up all of your habits, who drinks soda? Raise your hand, soda drinkers. Raise your hand, soda drinkers. Okay. Soda, beer, wine, booze, any of it. Okay. You're like, woo, they're all excited about it. Yes. Okay. Look at this. How much is your drinking habits? What's the cost? First of all, soda in your body. Juice. Who drinks juice? Juice, soda, alcoholic beverages. Where are you people? Who drinks other things other than water? How much has that cost you? How much has that cost you? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So you actually have the money. The money is in Starbucks's orchard. It's in Coca-Cola's orchard. That's supposed to be your orchard, but it's somebody else's instead. So you have to decide, do I want the pink salt or am I willing to live with the regular salt for a season until, not until your first tree has sprouted, but until your orchard has sprouted. Because this is where my husband and I are today, and we've been here for a very long time, and it really blows my mind that this is where we're at. For more than a decade, this is where we've been. Because my husband, and at times that I didn't know he was doing it, and I had to ask him to forgive me because I judged him for how he spent some money, and I was wrong. He has, no matter how much more money we've made, we've kept our lifestyle about the same. The place where we choose to spend money is on traveling the world, which a lot of it is business travel. So we've traveled the world. When our kids were little, we took them all over the world. It was part of their homeschool education to help them have a much more well-rounded understanding of the world. My children are incredibly accepting of all types of people. My kids grew up in orphanages with orphans, meaning part of their vacation was in orphanages, feeding the homeless, taking care of the poor, on the ground with the people that everyone has forgotten and forsaken. And this has built amazing character in my children, has also given them an understanding of the value of a dollar. It's also made them kids who are not all about stuff, 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 and more stuff, stuff, stuff. These were not the kids that were at the movies every weekend. These were not the kids that were scratching our pocket for entertainment money. These kids worked since they were 12, and they put their money through a system. They were not allowed to spend the money. They had a small fund budget. They had a savings budget. They had an asset account. By the time they were 18, some of them, two of them, 16, had over $20,000 already saved. And that was starting to work at 12. Because they were not habitual spenders, it was simple for them to put money away. When my daughter Erica was 18 and got, I'm not 18, when she turned 18, she had $20,000 in the bank. When she was 20, she got married, came into the marriage with over $32,000 she entered her marriage with. Versus entering her marriage with a debt. She entered her marriage with cash in hand. My son Roman, who has a net worth of well over $100,000, bought his first house when he was 15 years old. Yes, he's been a landlord for 5 years, he's 20. He walked into his marriage with a net worth more than most people in this room at 20. His bride, who her parents brought her here when she was 16 years old, brought into the marriage $30,000 instead of debt, instead of student loans. Why? Those are kids whose parents believed enough in their children that made an investment into their kids and brought them in this environment month after month after month, day after day, pressing play for their kids to learn what the parents did not have. Rachel personally watched her family pay off over $1 million worth of debt. Her entire family, her grandparents, her aunts, her uncles. Her entire family's been through these events for the last 6 years. This is the place she met her husband, who checked her in at registration when he was 13. Yes, this is a pattern in our family. The women are older than the men. I don't know exactly what that says, if that says that the women are incredibly immature and the men are very mature. I don't know if it's a combination of both, but I think it seems to be working. Okay, Micah's the last one to get married. No time soon, but if he marries someone his age, it'll be a shock. So listen to me. Where is your pink salt? What is your pink salt, and is it worth it? What have you been suckered into that you refuse to let go of? Humility or arrogance? Which one will you choose? You're going to fight for your pink salt. You're going to fight for your Starbucks. You're going to fight for your cable TV. You're going to fight for the habits that are keeping you in the 98%. Or are you going to do where we're at? Listen to me. For more than a decade, this is where Hans and I have been. And it blows my mind how fast we were able to get here. Because we lived on less than what we made, and we continued to invest, some of our investments were flops, complete flops. Some of them we lost millions. Others of them we made millions upon millions, one of which being in real estate. Made millions and millions in real estate. That's not even our business, do you understand? We're not in the real estate business. We're real estate investors. And as real estate investors, we've made millions of dollars passively on the side. Losing some, winning some. Never stopping, continuing to move forward. At the end of the day, we've won. So where are we today? We are now living in our orchard. And from our orchard, my husband is building his dream home. His dream home, he's paying cash for his dream home. It's on 18 acres, sunset views in the hill country of California. It's being built to look like an old villa out of Israel or Italy. It's all stone. It's in Texas, in the hill country of Texas. This villa, okay, is absolutely stunning. I cannot believe I'm going to live in this house. But the most precious part about this house is he has paid cash for this house, and it has not hurt our bank account. It doesn't hurt our income because he's not paying for the house out of income. He's paying for the house from the orchard. What is the orchard? It's generational, meaning we started a business that then started another business that started something else. The fruit from several investments out. Do you understand? Third, fourth generation investments. That's what's paying for this dream house of my husband's. And I don't even want to know how much he's spending on it. I can only guess. I don't want to know the amount. I hate money being spent. I do. The former shopaholic hates spending money. You will get to that place for 10 years, okay? 10 years ago, we bought a house in Bora Bora from our orchard, not from our income. From other investments that produced another investment that multiplied itself. So from the multiplication, not from the seed, hello, from the orchard. Do you understand? So your key is to get your money working for you. Not only that, get your money multiplying for you. How do you do that? You stop putting your money where everybody else puts it. Stop eating your seed and making turds with it. You've got to think like an investor. You've got to think like an investor. You've got to start taking steps like an investor. So let me quiz you on a few things. There's three places where most people make some kind of investment, take some, or two places that most people take risks. One is in the stock market. The stock market, we lost $100,000 in 2000, the same time I was diagnosed with my fatal heart condition, the same time that we have almost $1 million worth of debt. All this happened at the same time. So that $100,000 that we lost in the stock market, that was all of our life savings. So we took all of our seed and did what with it? We put it all in one place, and in one day, disappeared. It was gone. That's when we were learning. My husband has spent the last 18 years learning again and learning again and learning again. Do you hear me? He didn't just like, okay, I lost 100 grand at the worst possible time we needed this money. He didn't just stay out. He didn't stay in the past. He didn't live in the past. He didn't let the pain of that experience stop him. He kept learning. He kept learning. He kept learning. He kept learning. He kept learning, and he kept trying. And because of that, he's made millions of dollars. So with the stocks, how many of you have made money in the stock market? How many of you have lost money in the stock market? Okay, guess what? You're doing it right. Nobody in the stock market wins all the time. Nobody wins all the time. But my husband has figured out a system to where he doesn't lose like he used to lose, but he's still able to win. So he hedges his losses and able to keep his gains. And he's figured out a system to do that. He used to, back 18 years ago, he depended on what the experts said and what somebody wrote in a book to tell him on how to make money in the investing world. And he lost, and lost big time. Now, he doesn't do that. He's watched his own habits, figured out a simple formula that any everyday average person can figure out, turned off all the experts' voices because they all contradict themselves. In fact, each one contradicts themselves. They do. And they pitch something so that they can't be wrong. I mean, they'll say it's going to be this so that they can spin it and make it look like they did it right. Forget it. Number two is real estate. Real estate is a place that Hans and I have made millions of dollars, but we haven't won on every single property. And we will not win on every single property moving forward either. So real estate, we've had rental properties. We've bought and sold a lot of houses. We buy a house, live in it for 2 years, turn around and sold it, made 100 grand. We made at least $100,000 on most of our properties except for our Bora Bora property where we made seven figures, millions of dollars on one single sell in 3 years. We got to vacation in that house. We got to experience that. We spent a ton of time out there. It was amazing family time for us, okay? So we made tons of money in real estate. But my first property, I had to live in it for 5 years to sell it for the same amount I bought it for. Why? I was a 98 percenter, and my opponent in the game of life was a 98 percenter in me that wanted what? I wanted the nicest place that I could afford. Some banker told me I could afford $250,000 house with $32,000 down and 10% interest, $2,000 monthly payment. Boy, that seems affordable. And then there you go. You start adding all that crap that's on that table to your life, and pretty soon you don't have any money left, and now you're living paycheck to paycheck. So it's all these habits that we add to our life because of poor choices. Because we have these habits, we have no more cash to do what with? To invest. So we lost on the first property. Totally lost. I had to sell it for the same price I bought it for, lived in it for 5 years. I had to refinance it a year later, so it was $64,000 down, $2,000 a month. I could have rented the same exact place for $1,000 a month. So I could have saved 200 grand by renting in those 5 years versus buying. But because 98 percenters are told you're successful if you live in this gated community, you're successful if you have this nice car. You're successful if you shop at Nordstrom's. You're successful if you eat at high-end restaurants. You're successful if you eat out several times a week. You're successful if you have pink salt. It's true. And all of that is a lie. All of that is propaganda. All of that is marketing. All of that is trying to steal your orchard from you. And you're gladly handing it right over without thinking about it. So real estate and stocks, let me tell you something. How many of you own a home? How many of you live in that home? That is not an investment. That is not an investment. You've been duped into thinking that it is an investment, but it's not. Add up the interest. Now look at this. How many of you would like to get an 18.9% return on a dollar? How many of you like to give a dollar and get 18 cents back? How many like to give $100 and get $18 back? Pay off your credit cards. So where's your wealth going? To the banks, to the grocery store, to Starbucks, to the malls, to your cable television provider, to your cell phone, to your cell phone, to the cell phone bill, to your electronics, to your geek habits, to your interest, to your Netflix. It's only $10 a month. Do the math. Is it really just $10 a month? How much time do you sit watching it? Time is money. Remember time optimization skills, right? Guarantee you Jeff Bezos does not like veg hours upon hours upon hours in front of the television. Pretty good guess. If he is, he's studying it and doing statistics and finding out what people like, and he's going to figure out how to buy that company and put it under Amazon. He ain't watching it to watch it. He's watching how the whole thing works. Okay, so education is a waste if you don't profit from it. And investing requires risk and learning. There is no failure as long as you're learning. The only failure is if you don't learn. You can't learn if you're blaming. You can only learn if you fail and you grab a lesson out of it and you don't repeat that same thing again. So with real estate, like I said, we've made millions of dollars, but we had to learn. It took a while to learn how to do it. And like I said, we are probably going to lose in the future also. We will lose some, we will win some. At the end of the day, as long as we're ahead, that's all that matters. The key also is don't spend your winnings. You got to take that money off the table so that when we planted seed, we grew a tree. We took the seed from that tree and grew more. Do you understand? By the time now that third set comes, now we can start eating some of that fruit off of that tree. Do you understand? So when do you stop living like a poor person? When you've got an orchard. Who here is 25 years old and younger? Wow. Stand to your feet. Those of you that are 25 and younger, how many of you have no debt? Oh my gosh. Look at that. Awesome. That means no student loans. No student loans, right? Okay. I'm so proud of you guys. And it's probably because you watched somebody else be in debt and watched other people suffer from that kind of debt. Whatever the reason is, I want you to have a hate for consumer debt. You guys are 25. Those of you that raised your hands, you have 25 or younger, you have no debt. Don't go there. You want to not buy into the temptation of that nonsense. Here's something else. You're hearing about all these places where people spend money and waste money. Just because you have no debt and you make money does not mean that you should be buying this crap that's on this table. That means you shouldn't be buying this crap on this table. You are going to hit financial independence 10 times faster than everyone else that's sitting down because you are not in the cycle of debt, and you better not get there so that I have to say yet. Don't go in it. The other thing is these habits that I'm talking about, this is how the ones who are sitting down started, was by this crap right here. It started with the habits of the Starbucks, the cable television, the video games. It started with the pizzas. It started with the booze. It started with foolishly spending, not saving, not investing. It started with sitting in front of the television and being entertained for hours on end. That's how they ended up in all that debt. That's how they now, in their 40s and 50s, are trying to figure out how to get themselves out of it. Don't make the mistakes they made. Force yourself to live a simple life. because your orchard is less than 10 years away if you're wise. Did you hear me? Your orchard is less than 10 years away if you're wise. Less than 10 years. Your friends will be up to here in debt and suffering and probably divorced on multiple different medications in their late 20s and early 30s. Suffering from the pressure of their choices. And you'll be eating from your orchard. You'll be eating from your orchard. Leave here and be weird. Leave here and be weird. Stop fitting in with your friends. Pull out of the matrix and live wise instead of foolish. You are going to kick and stomp your competition ugly. And they will be coming to you saying, "How did you do it?" They will forget how weird they thought you were, how you weren't going to all the parties, how you weren't engaging in with all the shopping and eating out and all the crap that they're all doing. Pull out of that. Create your own community. Create your own culture of a debt-free millennial, of a debt-free, responsible millennial, because you are the ones that have the greatest chance at changing the 98 and the 2%. Most of the people sitting down are going to spend the next 10, 12 years of their lives trying to figure out their finances so they have some kind of money left when it's time to retire. Some of them are going to make slow choices. Some of them are going to make fast ones. Some are not going to make any at all. But you have the clean slate. You need to take what we're talking about here and apply it with a fire and a fervor, with a passion. So you do not fall into that 98%. I guarantee you, many people who are here heard those numbers 20 years ago and ignored them. And just thought, if I make enough money, then I won't have to worry about it. BS. People sitting down here make plenty of money. It's not about how much you make, it's how much you keep. It's how much you keep. Sit down. So avoid your pink salt. Once you have your orchard and you want pink salt, knock yourself out. Buy a case of it if it's that important to you. Once you got your order, have 5 different subscriptions of cable TV. Knock yourself out. If it's really that important to you, go for it. When you're debt-free and you're eating from your orchard, build the house you want to live in. Buy the yacht you want to buy. Travel first class if that's how you want to travel. Because at that point, you're barely touching your orchard and you're not doing this off of your income. But until then, live smart, live wise, live frugal. Third investment, and millennials, you better listen to me. Millennials, you better listen to me. I once was in your shoes. The best decision my husband and I both made, the best decision we ever made, the best investment we ever made, the only investment that we had control over the value of the dollar was the investments we made into ourselves. The investments we made into ourselves. You millennials that are here, you've done that this weekend. Those who were sitting down, you've also done that this weekend. When you're young, you are a sponge. When you're 50, you're still young. When you're 60, you're still young. When you're 70, you're still young. You can choose to be a sponge or you can choose to fight every word I'm saying. The choice is yours. You can choose to step up and follow directions, or you can choose to stay the same and fight for your position. The choice is yours. So the best investment Hans and I ever made was the one we made into ourselves. I went to seminars. He went to seminars. We still go to seminars. We still are learning. We're still reading books. We're still listening to teaching. We still are yielding under experts who are better than us. We are still growing. We are still investing into our skill set. We are still evaluating the list of skills and seeing where we're falling short. When our marriage is a mess, we hired other experts to help us in our marriage. Do you understand? We go to marriage conferences. We read marriage books. Why? Because that which we are not increasing our value, we are doing what? Losing our value. We are losing our value. So we positioned ourselves to learn from people who were better than us. If you think you're so great, you can't learn from anybody. If you think you're great already, you can't learn from anybody. Or if you're playing some stupid sob story that you're not worthy to learn, get over your ego. That's just pride in the reverse. That's just arrogance living a lie. So learn how to get out of debt, then learn how to stay out of debt, because those are two different things. Cut up your credit cards. Live on a cash basis. Use a debit card. They all have a Visa or MasterCard sign on it anyway. You can still rent a hotel. You can rent a car with a debit card. You really don't need your credit card. Now, look why people have it. No, this is just for emergencies. Then why is there a $10,000 balance on it? That's not an emergency. That's for the emergency of you having no self-control. So credit cards, unfortunately, is what man has put their trust in. Don't put your trust and hope in a plastic thing. So, one, if you want to make money in stocks, you have to invest into learning how to do it. You have to invest into learning how. You have to be willing to throw money away in order to gain it. Did you hear what I said? You have to be willing to throw that seed in good soil to see what's going to reap up a harvest. Real estate. You need to invest to learn how to do real estate. That's not something you're just going to pick up naturally all by yourself. You're going to learn through trial and error, or you're going to learn from somebody else's trial and error. Learning is expensive. Can you write that down? Learning is expensive. If you go the way of learning on your own, guess what? That's more expensive than it is to pay for somebody else's learning experiences. When you can pay to learn from other people's failures, it's less expensive than if it is your own failures. All day today, I've been talking to you about my failures. This is the final copy for now. There'll be even more greater final copy 20 years from now. This final copy is a whole heck of a lot better than it was 10 years ago and a whole lot better than it was 20 years ago. Think about 27 years ago, the things that I was teaching. Lord have mercy. Things like burn your bills. That was not good. That was not good. You can ask Jen and a few others that are here, that were here back then, that burn your bills, screw the creditors. Yeah. Millionaires don't care about their debt. Yeah. Yeah, I was broke the next year. I was. I got embezzled, had $1 million of the product in a warehouse, and I couldn't move. Yeah, that wasn't good advice. Since then, we've helped millions of people with their finances. Praise God for his mercy, for all the bad seed I sowed. Anyway, so real estate, you have to pay to learn. You're going to pay by your mistakes, or you're going to pay by the mistakes of other people. Third, invest in you. That's how you're going to learn real estate, is by investing into you. Invest into self-educating. Invest into self-educating. That's what you're here doing this weekend. You planted seed into you this weekend. You planted seed into really good soil here this weekend. How do you know what's good soil? By the fruit. You know what good soil is by the fruit. What's the fruit of First Steps to Success? Let me show you right now. Who has been through First Step Success more than one time? This is your second or more. And how many of you have paid off debt? That's the fruit. All these hands that are up have paid off debt. How many of you have increased your income? Look around the room. That's the fruit of First Steps to Success. How many of you have brought healing to your marriage relationship? That is the fruit. How many of you have become better parents? That is the fruit. How many of you have become more responsible, better workers in the marketplace? That is the fruit. That's what you will get out of this soil. So you invested into good soil, and whether you like it or not, you're taking care of the widow and the orphan this weekend and helping to get kids out of the sex trafficked world. That's what you did when you came here. So let me show you now how to pay off all your debt. So you're going to take, and some of you have seen this before, but maybe you haven't followed it. And maybe you're one of those unteachable, rebellious children who's going to look for five other debt reduction plans versus just starting this one. So my husband showed me this 18 years ago. I want you to write down your smallest debt at the top of the list, and then all the way to your smallest. I mean your largest. So smallest on top, largest on the bottom. So let's say you have a $500, what do we call it? $500 credit card. Let's say you have a $1,000 line of credit. You have a $1,200 card. You have a $3,000 card. You have a $5,000 card. Let's say all of these are maxed out completely. Where are my war on debt soldiers? Where's everyone who's paid off debt using the system about to shoot? Can you stand up? Give these people a hand. All of these people have put into practice what I'm about to show you, and the reason why they're standing is because they have results. Stay standing, please. And guys, I need you to write down your results, and the results need to be turned back to the resource table, okay? So how many of you have already written down your debt results already? If you've already written them down, you can sit down. If you haven't written them down already, stay standing, write them out, follow this, okay? So your name. If your second one is if you're debt-free, number three, how much fat in your budget, how much debt you paid off, number four, number five, how many months did it take you, number six, how much do you have total in savings, number seven, how much you have in income-producing assets, real estate, stocks, businesses, what income-producing assets do you have, okay? If you're hosting a war on debt class in your local city or even online, please write down the numbers from your class as well. Put all this on one piece of paper. Take it back to the resource table, please. And we need all of the numbers. I don't care if it was $300 worth of debt that you've paid off. You're brand new and that's all you've paid off. Please write that number down and bring it to the back. We need everybody's numbers and all of your class's numbers. Okay, so if you have your debt here, the smallest at the top, largest at the bottom. Now in the second column, I want you to write down how much is your minimum monthly payment. So on a $500, it might be like 10 bucks. And then on this one, let's say it's $20. Your minimum monthly payment here is 25. Here, minimum is 75. Here is 150. Okay. In this section over here, what I would encourage you to do is this. So I just showed you, this all, by the way, is a lot of fat. This is all fat in a budget right here. So you're like, what? My vitamins? Yeah, that is all, listen to me carefully. That is all luxury spending. Everything on this table is luxury. Nothing up here, including this. This is a luxury. This is not a necessity. Okay? So the expensive hair care is a luxury. The vitamins are a luxury. Your pink salt and peppercorns are a luxury. Okay? All your vitamins, including, by the way, how do we end up on medication? Because we made bad choices with what we put in our pie hole. Consistently for too long. That's how we end up on medication, okay? That's how we end up with liquid Advil in our pocket everywhere we go. Do you understand? So all of this is a result of poor choices, which then causes us to spend more money to help us with the result of our poor choices. We reap what we sow, okay? So what you're going to go home and do is you're going to find what we call all the fat in your budget. What's fat in your budget? excess luxury spending. It's spending on luxuries instead of necessities. So let's do this real quick. Foolish and luxury is the same thing. Okay? The fool ends up with poverty. The wise man and woman is the one that end up with generational wealth. So the fool spends money on Starbucks and can't figure out why they're broke. The fool spends money on Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, root beer, iced tea, juices, all of that stuff. Guess what was not in my grocery cart every week when I was shopping for my family of six? Soda, juices. Guess what was not in my cart at all? Nothing to drink. I never bought anything to drink that was not in our cart. When my babies were little, they were not given juice. I was not giving them the, hello, tourniquet and the needle for the drug called sugar. So I didn't get them hooked. Some of them found it when they were adults, and that's on their own head. If they want to blow money on that crap, that's their issue. Mind you, many of them are debt-free. Some of them are not. Some of them married somebody who wasn't smart financially. And my kids had to learn how to take a stand. They should have started to, they went, oh, what do I do? You have a conversation is what you do. That's what you do in marriage. You have conversations, lots of them. And you make sure you marry someone with your same values. That would be smart. You marry someone that has the same mindset about money. That would be really smart. Well, some of them didn't marry someone with the same mindset about money. So they ended up marrying someone that believed in debt, who had a habit of debt. So now they've got debt. Then, not to mention, by the way, you young people, don't be stupid with alcohol. It's expensive. It's expensive when you drink and drive and total your car that you just paid off. It's expensive when you have to get meta-flighted to another city. It's expensive when you have no insurance and you have to pay for this problem. You end up with a $50,000 medical bill because you drank one too many and decided to drive home and hit a tree. It happens every day. This is how kids get into debt. If it's not through college debt, it's going to be for stupid debt. Okay? So how many of you have medical debt? That is the worst. I had medical debt for a long time. It was disgusting. Okay, what about tax debt? You have to include the tax debt, medical debt, and all that other debt is all your debt. Okay? All right, so you're going to go home and you're going to find fat in your budget. How do you find the fat in your budget? Listen, I'm trying to help you get financially fit. You need to be financially fit. So just like when it comes to someone losing weight and getting in shape, okay, the same exact principle applies to debt and finances and creating wealth. So financial fitness, similar to weight loss and fitness, is this. You watch what you eat. You watch what you eat. You cut the bad stuff out of your diet. How do you become financially fit? You cut the stupid stuff out of your budget. You stop eating out 5 times a week, spending $10 to $15 every time. You stop investing into convenient foods that are hurting your body, that then make you have these pills next to your bed, and then you have to take some chia seeds because you can't poop, and then you have to have these oils because you have headaches, you have to have these oils because your back hurts because of all the swelling in your body, and then your skin looks really bad, so you got to spend $200 on your skincare, and then your hair is all brittle, so you got to spend $50 on a bottle of shampoo. Either you're sleeping or you're severely convicted. And that's how you get suckered into pink salt. Because after putting these oils on and swallowing these pills and swallowing these vitamins and putting this on your face and taking this for your gas and this for your hormones, you still don't feel good. So now you need pink salt. How many of you do this? That's called fat in your budget. So what you need to make a list of is what your bare minimums need to survive. And now you're going to live like a frugal, wise, wealthy person. Did you hear me? A frugal, wise, wealthy person. Let me challenge you. To me, financial freedom is being able to work for nothing. That's total financial freedom. Is that I don't have to be paid for the work I do. I don't have to earn an income for my family. I don't have to earn any money at all. I can work, take my skill, generate millions of dollars, and not have to touch any of it. None of it is for me. All of it is for something else. And there's some of you in this room that that's your next step, is to be able to work for the joy of working, for the purpose of somebody else versus the purpose of your own bank account. That's true financial freedom in my book. That's my definition of financial freedom, that I don't have to make money. I choose to work. I choose to take my talent and skill to the marketplace, yielding as much as I possibly can and giving it all away to a greater cause than myself. My family is taken care of. Generations is taken care of. Legacy is taken care of. I don't have to work for a dime. How many of you'd like to get there? Some of you are there and you're not doing it now. I challenge you. At least go home and live on 50% less, 90% less. Start to challenge yourself to do this. So back to the luxuries and the necessities. Foolish spending versus wise investing. So how many of you do need to eat food? Everybody needs to eat food, but do we need to eat expensive food? Do we need to eat organic food? Look at this. Okay, hold on. Now, I have a question. How many of you are 40 years old or older? You did not grow up on organic food. How many of you are 50 years old and over? You did not grow up on organic food. How many of you are 70 years old and older? You did not grow up on organic food. There has been pesticides, dyes, herbicides, chemicals, all that crap in our water and in our food for decades. But that's why we have health problems. No. 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 It's the crappy food is why you have the health problems. Now listen, I'm a health nut, okay? I'm a health nut. But I'm also a marketer. And I watch the whole organic movement get birthed out of nothing and out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. How many of you can remember when there was no organic food to buy? How were we all surviving? And let me ask you, now that you're eating organic, has it changed everything? It just changed your grocery bill. Yes, I've drank bottled water for 30 years. 30 years. You smell awesome. Then you might want to spend less of a small fortune on bottled water. Or what I did is I purchased a filter. And I had a little carbon filter 30 years ago. So I had a little filter. And the filter that's on my sink now, I traded. I like to barter. Find ways to barter. Trade. What do you have that you could trade for something you want instead of paying for it? That's how 2% does it. Okay? So you look at your budget as though it was me looking through your budget. What's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you sweating all of a sudden? I want you to look through it as though I'm looking through it. And you're going to go through this thing and you're going to say, wise or foolish? Necessity or luxury? What am I doing with my seed with this habit? What benefit am I really getting out of this? Or is this stopping me from getting to where I want to go? How many of you were shocked when you saw how much is spent on cable TV in 15 years? 18 grand. What could you do with that money? Right? Okay, what about this? Don't go to the grocery store more than once a week. Go to the grocery store, if you have a big family, once a week. If you are a small little family now, like it's me, Hans, and Micah now, it's like once every 2.5-3 weeks I go to the grocery store. You're like, but what about fresh fruits and vegetables? I bought these Tupperware things 20 years ago that keep my vegetables fresh. They keep them fresh. They don't die. So they have the perfect amount of humidity. They were like a couple bucks. They're 20 years old. They're still working. They're still in my fridge. Okay? So if you are a tiny little family, you don't need to go to the grocery store once a week. If you are a bigger family, once a week. I had 4 kids and a husband in the house at the time. Then when Christina was back, 7 of us, once a week. Everything I bought, we ate. By the time Sunday rolled around, there was nothing in the fridge but condiments. A little bit of ketchup left over, a little bit of mayo, a little bit of mustard. Understand? A little bit of jelly, empty. My sons have hilariously made videos about the fridge when it's at the end of the cycle. And they've posted them on Facebook, Instagram. They've posted these things. What is it like being the son of Danny Johnson? They open the fridge. There's no food in the house. Okay. There's a little bit of sugar. There's a little bit of flour. There's a little bit of baking powder. A little bit of cornstarch, right? Just the basic essentials. They walk in, they're like, there's no food. Are you kidding me? I have 3 meals left. Okay. So you're like, that's terrible. 98%, 2%. You have $1,000 or more worth of food in your house right now, but you have no money in the bank and a lot of debt. Hello? What are you storing all this food for? For the end. Wake up and smell the homas. The world has a tendency not to end. No matter who predicts that the end is around the corner, the world has a tendency of not ending. Okay? Not only that, here's another thing. Go home and eat all the food in your pantry. All of it. And in your freezer, and in the second freezer, and in the fridge. Figure out what to do with those science projects. Because the science projects was what? Money. The food that went bad in your fridge is money. That celery that now is limp is money. I have done that. I have put it in water and it comes back to life. It comes right back to life. Almost, not totally back to life, but it comes back to life pretty good. Good enough to chop. Yeah.
Stored in water and it stays there.
Yes. So listen to me. You're going to go find where all the fat is in your budget. You're now going to be faithful with the little, and you're going to start applying the fat that's going to waste to your debt. And so that's what this third column is. So the average that I've found throughout the world that I've traveled and I've met people and taught people how to get out of debt, the average amount of fat I have found is $500. So you take the $500 towards your first debt. What do you got? How many months before you paid off? 1. Okay. So we knock this out. We knock this out. But what you do is you keep spending the $10 that you were used to spending towards debt. You keep spending the $10 now to the second debt. So now you have $510. We got 1 month. You're down to 4 credit cards instead of 5. So we have 510. Now you take the second minimum monthly payment. You apply it to the 510. Now you're at 530. So you take 530 towards the second debt. You have how many months before you pay off your second one? 2 months, okay? You take the $25. You add that to over here. Because again, you're still going to spend this $10 and this $20 towards debt. Okay, it's just applying it to a different card. So now we have 555. 555 towards your third debt is how many months? 2 months. Okay, so now you take the $75. This is 680. 680 towards your $3,000 card. How many months? Say 5 months. Okay, look, guys. How many do we have? We have 10 months. You had 5 credit cards. You're now down to 1. I think the better question is that if you don't do this, how much more debt will you have in the next 10 months? That's the better question. And if you don't leave here and start doing this, the fact is that this is going to grow. So now you take the 150. Did I do that wrong? It was 630. 150, now this is 780. Thank you. So the 780 to your 5,000 is how many months? 7 months. We have 17 months credit card debt free. Now what? You put your car payment down here. Was it $30,000 you owe on your car? Right? Now you're taking that 780, adding it to, what's your car payment on a $30,000 car? 500 bucks? Freaking crazy. $500 with your 780 is what? Huh? Is that 12? 1280? Told you don't have to be smart to make it in America. Okay, so 1280 towards 30,000, how many months before you paid off? Huh? Brad, help me. 23 months? Who's going to help me? Thank you. 23 months. Your car's paid off. Now you put your mortgage down here, which a $200,000 mortgage is like a mansion in Arkansas. Probably in North Dakota, too, and Kansas. Okay. Even in Texas. $200,000 in most places in Texas to buy you a mansion. In California, you get a garage door. You get a garage door. You know, it cracks me up all the time. It really cracks me up that people choose to live in expensive places just for a job. Cracks me up. And they don't even realize if they actually did the math, they could make half as much money living in a better place where the cost of living is significantly lower and live debt-free. But they choose to live in a super expensive place without ever thinking about how much it's actually costing them and what the quality of their life actually is. I love it when I see people make big changes like that. Anyway, so you put your mortgage down here. You add that to your mortgage payment. There's lots of different ways to cut your mortgage in half. Now you pay off your house. This is all going to happen in 5 to 7 years. There are people in this room that heard this message 5 years ago and paid off all of their debt in less than 5 years and are completely debt-free. There are people in this room who paid off $1 million worth of debt in 2.5 years and became completely debt-free. Are you listening to me? There are people in this room that they did not make the choice for it to take them 7 years. They got serious fast, started selling everything that they did not need, simplifying their life, focusing on learning the difference between wise versus foolish spending, attacked this thing, and as a direct result, grew their income. I'll introduce you to them later. So, friends, you got a choice. You can live off of 70% of your income, or you can still live paycheck to paycheck. You can learn how to become an investor. You already have shown the signs of an investor by getting yourself here this weekend. The money that you spent to get yourself here this weekend is an investment into yourself. It's an investment into your financial future. It's an investment into your 2% education. It's an investment into your children's 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 future. That's the investment you made in yourself. Give yourselves a hand. Good job for doing that. If I had not spent the $25,000 in 6 short months, I would not be talking to you today, nor will I have had the kind of success that I've had. And if Hans and I have not continued, for 30 years I've been investing into myself. For 30 straight years. This year alone, we will spend over $100,000 on education for myself and our team. Over $100,000 is what we're investing. Either it's going to be a big flop of an investment, or it's going to yield something. Either it'll be in the mistake department, or it'll be that this was a really good idea department. I will not know until the year is over and years to come from here. So Start learning to become an investor instead of a spender, because spenders will end up dead or dead broke at the age of 65. All right, so let's recap on what we talked about, and then we're going to take a break. Number one, to become financially independent, what must we do first? Pay off your debt. You must pay off your debt. Number two, live off of 70% of your income. You can do it. You've done it before. Number three, go home and sell your crap that has no use anymore to you. That includes the junk in your closet, the junk in the garage. Number four, live off of what you already have in your house, including your shampoo and all your bars of soap that are piled up on the bathtub. Do what the millionaire does in the room. Cut off the top of the toothpaste and dig out that last 7 days of use. That's what us weird people do. When you're done with your bottle of shampoo, it's not done. Put some water in it. Shake that thing up. You've got another 4 uses out of your bottle of shampoo. Do what the millionaire does. Don't even spend money on shampoo. I trade. I don't buy shampoo. I haven't bought shampoo in 5 years. Yeah. Huh? Girlfriend! I got my ways, honey. Well, you're going to learn tomorrow how to start setting up relationships that are mutually beneficial. Yes. How you bring more value into the marketplace raises your income. Also helps you save money. Jess. Jess, it's a very Jewish thing to do. Anyway, so where were we? Number what? What was number four? Huh? Live off of all the stuff you already have in your house. I'm literally just walking you through what we did. Number five, limit the food budget to $20 per person in the household per week. How do you do that? You're like, I'm going to starve. No, you're going to lose your gut. Okay? Shut up, Brad. He's like, I don't have one. Not everyone has your blessing of metabolism and body type. Yeah, whatever. I can't gain weight. It's a curse. Shut up. Many of us would love to change sides with you. Trust me. Me being one of them. Yeah. Some of us have it naturally. Others have to work towards it. Anyway, what did I say number five was? Okay, food budget, $20 per person for food. You're like, ah, you can do it. Now, I live in London. I have shopped with that budget in London. You'll be amazed what you don't end up buying, and you will not miss it. Number six, do not go to the grocery store but one time a week. You'll save money and you will save time. You will spend so much less, and make sure you go to the grocery store with a list and only get what's on the list. If you have the inability and you have no self-control, send someone else. I know better than to send my husband to the grocery store. When I'm telling you, Hans cannot go to the grocery store. If I say, can you pick me up an avocado? He brings home 5. If I say, get one bunch of broccoli, he brings home 3. I have to be really desperate to have Hans do something at the grocery store for me. Okay, now listen, if you're financially independent and you just get your rocks off by going to the grocery store every day, have a blast. But I promise you, there are funner things to do than going to the grocery store. And if that's where you get your yayas out, you need to get a life. There's so many more funner things to do than going to the grocery store, I promise you. And if you're going to the grocery store 3 and 4 times a week, you are wasting your time because you have no vision for your time. So a man with a vision will not go to the grocery store every day or several times a week, okay? So number seven. What was six? Grocery store one time per week. Seven, invest into you. Pay whatever the cost. My husband just invested another $18,000 in his internet education. 18 years ago, he invested $100,000 in his internet education when we did not have $100,000 to invest into an internet education. That 100 grand that he spent 18 years ago has made him tens of millions of dollars, and he just laid down $18,000 more in his internet education. Why? Because that's what 2%ers do. You have to continuously advance your value in the marketplace. When you stop doing that, you have already been replaced. You've been replaced. Isn't it interesting that doctors have to continue to invest into their education? We have a doctor in the house. We have several of them. Do you have to continue to invest into more classes to keep your practice, to keep your license up? Yes, you do. Every year, so do teachers. There's many professions that you have to continue to invest into your education in order to stay current in the marketplace. Lawyers, teachers, doctors, psychologists, all of them. Professionals. Professionals know that. But isn't it interesting that mothers and fathers, husbands and wives do not invest into their education on becoming better husbands and wives and learning how to deal with the certain seasons of their life? They put all this investment into an expensive wedding and never an investment into learning how to have a harmonious relationship for the rest of their lives. Instead, they try to go to the free classes at church. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Free classes. You get what you pay for, friends. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Okay, so what number are we on?
Eight.
We're on 8. What was number 7?
Invest
in yourself. Okay, so in that invest in yourself category, get a hold of the personal finance system. We have an entire financial teaching. We just scratched the surface of it. Okay, we literally just scratched the surface. How many of you can do everything I said? How many of you say that is simple? How many of your children can do it? Okay. So there's an entire personal finance system. It's going to cost you less than $300. It's so cheap, especially when you look at this. How much is your debt? How much has your debt cost you? You can laugh louder than that, Billy Mixon, if that was you. So look at how much your debt is. How much are you going to pay in interest? Remember I said how many of you want $18 for every 100? Okay. Or $30 back on every 100. If you pay off your debt, now you're keeping the 30%. You're keeping the $30 on the 100. You're keeping that for yourself. Have you ever added up how much you've paid in interest? Go home and do that. Number 8. Go home and add up how much you paid in interest in your entire life. Add up how much that amount is, and guess what you're going to find? You're going to find cars. You're going to find houses. You're going to find the dream vacations. You're going to find the orchard just in interest. So the banks have stolen your wealth. The grocery store has stolen your wealth. Walmart has stolen your wealth. Costco has stolen your wealth. The department stores have stolen your wealth. Apple has stolen your wealth. Come on, there's only so much money in the world. Are you listening to me? How do these billion-dollar companies rise up? They're taking your money from you. You're gladly giving it to them for some instant gratification. Okay? Instant gratification is how 98% of the population stays broke. All right? So that's your recap. You're going to leave here and be wise financially. You're going to build your orchard, which would be number 10. 9 was get a hold of the personal finance system.
Okay, thank you.
Study it weekly. How many of you have some bad financial habits? Then you need to press play daily on the financial, personal finance system. You have to press play daily. Why? You have to reprogram your head. Your head has been programmed for debt. You need to reprogram it for wealth. And the whole personal finance system is going to reprogram your mind for wealth. Okay, so press play daily if you got some bad financial tapes. Reprogram yourself. Thanks, Chad. Okay, number 10. Yes, build your orchard. 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 Okay? So that's part of living off of 70% of your income. 10% goes through income-producing assets. That means you're going to take 10%, start investing, whether it's in business. Hans and I have made the most money investing in business, by the way. We made tens of millions of dollars in business. Tens of millions in business. And we started in the strangest business. We started in the strangest of all businesses where we started. We didn't start with a, you know, clothing store or something like that, or a restaurant. We started in direct sales. That's where we first made our first million. And out of that first million, then we invested into other businesses. Cattle business, software business, real estate business. The list goes on of all the different types of businesses that we've had throughout the years. Publishing business. Lots of different businesses that we've invested into. Some have worked, some have flopped. Why? We didn't know what we were doing. That's why. We made bad choices. That's why. Not because of the market, not because of the people we're in business with. We screwed up is why some of them failed. And why have you failed? Come on, you can say it. I screwed up. Doesn't that feel good to say it again together? I screwed up. Can we try that one more time? I want to hear it louder. Does that feel good?
Yes.
It was really freeing. It was like, I screwed that one up. How many of you screwed up in marriage?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. As long as you learned, you haven't failed. As long as you've learned, you haven't failed. The only failure you ever have is when you haven't learned. That's when it's a failure, is when you haven't learned. Okay? All right, so we're going to build our orchard, okay? And you're going to build that orchard by living off of 70% of your income, taking 10% and investing. You're going to become an investor with 10%. Well, if you don't know where to invest and how to invest, that means just 10% into learning how to invest. Does that make sense? Okay, if you're going to go home and do number one, you're going to go sell all your crap that you don't need. Use the money you get from selling your crap to buy more crap. No. You're going to sell your crap to now invest. You're going to sell the crap and turn the crap into investment money, okay? You're going to pay off your debt, which was number one or two in there, and 10% goes to charity. Some of you are missing that part inside of your life. You're missing that in your life purpose. We are all designed to be able to give to charity. If Candida, who was poor, hello, gave to the poor, used her talent, which, how do you even call it? There wasn't any talent in there, used her life also to help the poor. Do you understand? All of us are supposed to do that. We're supposed to have a charity arm to every one of our businesses. It's now becoming a popular thing. It is. It's becoming a popular thing. The famous people are now, yes, I'm a philanthropist. Why? It's good for business for people to be philanthropists. I don't care. I don't care if they're doing it for the fame. Just take care of the poor. That's all I care about. If you take care of the poor, I don't care what your reasons are for doing it. I promise you, if you give, you will always receive. If you give, you will always receive. And since Hans and I have given to the poor, our finances have been completely protected. Okay? All right. So that concludes our very first day of First Steps to Success. We're going to have our first night tonight. Tonight, we're going to have a break for dinner right now. We're going to have an hour and a half break for dinner. I'm going to be more casually dressed. I'm going to get out of this bodysuit with sparkles on it, and I'm not a sparkle girl. But there's my sparkles. My friend, Michal Negrin, is a sparkle woman, and I gladly wear her beautiful handmade design. For free. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about powerhouse leadership that is famous, that also lasts for thousands of years. We're going to take a wild walk to study a very famous historical person who was very wealthy, went through some hard times, and managed to come out ahead. And the philosophy in which of how he built his generational wealth that is still on the earth today. So if you want to be successful, you study successful people, right? If you want to leave a legacy that is generational, where you see your great-great-grandchildren be blessed, then you learn from somebody who has done that, okay? So we're going to learn from that person tonight. And by the way, how many of you learned a couple of things that you can take home and apply today? Okay? How many of you got some answers to problems you didn't realize you were not facing? How many of you discovered this afternoon while you're not prospering as much as you could be? Yes, because you're constipated. You're constricted. Okay? So as you start living off of 70% and you do these 10 simple things, right, then you're now going to be the flow for the money. You're going to be the flow for the finances. You're going to be the good soil for the finances. Well, tonight, we're going to churn that soil. We're going to get some rocks out of the way. We're going to start to get that soil to be even more healthy as we begin to look at really strong and powerful leadership. I have a confession to make to you guys. I've actually been teaching not from my book all day long. I've actually been teaching from a book that is incredibly famous, that many love and some hate and have rejected. This particular book is where I've learned the secrets to a harmonious, hot, passionate marriage. How to raise my kids without killing them. How to live with the opposite sex and not kill him or myself. How not to kill my staff or my customers. How many of you need to learn how to do the same thing? Come on, I'm just being honest with you. How many of you have wanted to strangle a few people in your life? Even if you're a shy person, you want to strangle some people, right? Okay, even if you're a loving religious person, sometimes you want to strangle people. Anyway, everything I've been teaching you today has come from the best success book ever written, and it is not my book. It's actually the Bible. So I am not a big promoter of religion. Religion has destroyed a lot of people's lives currently and throughout history. People kill people over religion. So religion is created by man. I do not believe that religion was created by the Creator. It was man's idea of putting the Creator in a tiny little box where they could relate to him. But I do believe in the letters that were written to all of humanity on how to live a very healthy, wealthy life filled with harmony. And I'm talking about wealth in all areas of your life, wealth of relationship, wealth of health, wealth of generational finances and things like that. So I've been teaching from that book all day, ever since I came to the stage this morning, all the way to the last thing that I gave you tonight of legacy and Orchard. All of that stuff has come out of the best success book ever written. So tonight I'm actually going to open the book in front of you. So I encourage you to weigh your ego with your bank account. There's a good chance that mine's probably the largest one in the room. Maybe you might have a little bit bigger than mine. But if you want yours to grow, weigh your ego with your bank account. Chuck the ego. Come with an open mind. I am not going to shove a religion down your throat because I don't even believe in them. But I do believe in the book that teaches you how to succeed in every area of your life, including your health. So come tonight. You can be a little bit more casually dressed. And if you own one of those books, bring it along with you. If you don't have one, Gideon left one upstairs in your hotel room for you. And it's free. You could actually steal it. And it would be totally okay. They leave it there on purpose. So I'm so glad Gideon thought of you. But there's one of those up there if you want to bring it, because we're going to open it. We're going to actually look through a lot of different passages. Largely tonight's about leadership and about money and dealing with people issues, hard people problems. How many of you have some of those hard people problems in your life? You're going to learn solutions tonight on how to solve money, leadership, and people problems is what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're going to be here for a few hours tonight. So eat a good dinner. I'm going to see you back here at about 7:05. Let's get started at 7:05. God bless you. Thanks so much for a great night. Bye.